27 million people in the United States do not have health insurance, and that number is expected to rise as people lose their jobs. 60 million people are underinsured. Now, COVID-19 testing is supposed to be free, but if you go to an out-of-network provider, you might get a bill. Being treated is not covered, so we'll talk about what we can do about that. Later in the show, we'll find out how the virus is affecting people who cannot stay inside. What are city and state officials doing to protect people experiencing homelessness? Advocates are demanding housing and an end to street sweeps. Join us after the news. Is your call. On March 18th, Donald Trump signed the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, making COVID-19 testing free of charge. But as today's guest, journalist Abigail Abrams, reports, our healthcare system is a mess, and the law does not explicitly prohibit charging you if you go to an out-of-network provider. It also doesn't address other surprise billing problems. So let's say you get tested and you're positive. Then what happens? Well, this legislation does not require your health insurer to cover your treatment. A new analysis from the Kaiser Family Foundation estimates that the average cost of treatment for someone with insurance could be almost $10,000. And if there are complications, it could be about $20,000. So what about those of us who are underinsured or uninsured? 27 million Americans do not have health insurance, and that number is expected to rise as people lose their jobs. 50% of Americans get their health insurance through their job or their family member's job. Time magazine writer Abby Abrams wrote about one uninsured patient whose bill for COVID-19 treatment costs nearly $35,000. Abby Abrams is a staff writer for Time magazine, where she covers healthcare policy and politics. Hi, Abby. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. Hi.
Great. Hi. Thank you so much for joining us. So, yeah. Abby, before we dive in and talk about the healthcare costs of testing and treatment, I just want to ask you about the relief bill that is being voted on right now. And what we are learning, according to CNN, is under the plan as it was negotiated, single people who make $75,000 or less will receive $1,200. Married mm-hmm. couples who make $150,000 or less will receive $2,400, and parents will receive an additional $500 for each child under age 17. I've been looking at social media all morning, and a lot of people are saying, you know, where did they come up with the $75,000 cap? One man said, I make $80,000. I've got three kids. I have a mortgage. Why am I not included in this?
Right. I think that's a really valid question. And, you know, as we've seen, tons of Americans, even those who make above $75,000, still can't afford their bills right now, whether that's rent, mortgage, or potentially medical bills, like these testing and treatment costs.
Right. And so we're going to do some research, because it's right now the Senate is voting on this bill, and we don't know if these are going to be the final numbers. The one mm-hmm. other piece of information I want to share, because so many people are now gig workers, they're independent contractors, they run their own small business. We are getting word from Axios that unemployment benefits would extend to 4 months. So basically, workers will get benefits from their state plus an additional $600 a week from the federal package. This does apply to people who are self-employed. It also applies to gig workers. But we're still learning about the math. But at least people can breathe some sort of sigh of relief, because this will apply to them. That is a big deal, Abby, because there were a lot of questions around that.
Yes, absolutely. I think that it's really helpful for people to at least have something there.
Right. So we still need to do research. The other question I have, Abby, is this $1,200, how long are we talking? 1 month, 3 months, 6 months?
Right, exactly. I know that, you know, people had been pushing for money to continue over a number of months or to have it be monthly, but we'll have to see what ends up being in there. A one-time payment obviously won't help people cover all their costs that they're seeing right now.
Right. The other question is, when will people receive cash? Because that's the biggest question. Bills are due next mm-hmm. week. Mm-hmm. And CNN is reporting that people should not expect the money until at least May.
Right. And so if you're seeing rent due next week, or if you, you know, actually fall ill right now and have costs due, that's going to be a problem for those months until you see that cash.
Right. Well, we are going to be on this because right now, who knows if things will change when the Senate votes on it, and we will be bringing you updates throughout the day, and we'll definitely get an update for you tomorrow. So, Abby, before we dive in and talk about costs, I've been thinking a lot about people who are losing their jobs and being laid off. We're going to see a lot more people lose their health insurance because, according to Brookings, about 50% of workers either get their health insurance from their job or their partner's job. Can you talk about that?
Right. And so when you have that employer-based insurance, if you lose your job, that throws a lot of things into question. And certainly some employers will help you keep that insurance for a time after you lose that job. But then we see people facing down this pandemic with then no income and potentially no health insurance as they're getting sick.
Right. So we're going to have a lot of people without health insurance. And then there are so many more millions of people who do have health insurance, but it's basically for a catastrophic reason, and they are underinsured.
Right. And the number of people who are underinsured like that has increased in recent years. And as you're saying, even among people who have insurance and get to keep it, we know that close to 80% of people who have employer and sponsored insurance have deductibles at this point. And so that means that since we're still close to the beginning of the year, they might have plenty of money that they still have to pay before that insurance will even really help them cover costs.
Right. And I just did a quick search, losing health insurance. And I mean, the headlines just say it all. KGO-TV yesterday reported that 1 million Californians are projected to lose their health care in the midst of this pandemic. There's another piece. 9 states are reopening ACA insurance enrollment to broaden health care coverage. The New York Post has a piece. Laid off eatery workers face a health insurance crisis. A Business Insider, Bloomberg staffers are losing their health benefits during this pandemic. I mean, it just, mm-hmm. Abby, it just goes on and on and on.
Right. Now, I think the states reopening, you know, their enrollment, creating special enrollment periods is a good sign for some people. You know, if you lose your insurance, you could sign up for a marketplace insurance plan right now, though we know that those costs are often pretty expensive, and if you've just been laid off, it might be hard to afford a marketplace plan and add that cost to what you're dealing with.
Right. And of course, this is the argument for some sort of expanded Medicare for all plan, because if you lose your job, you should not have to worry about paying for any treatment. Or if you're underinsured, you should not have to worry about paying for other treatments. And Abby, I'm wondering, yesterday we talked about benefits for workers, and we pointed out that in places with even conservative governments like the UK, they're going to take care of about 80% of workers' paychecks. The same thing is happening in Denmark and other countries. And I'm wondering, have you spent any time looking at how COVID treatments are being covered in places like South Korea, Japan? I mean, I know a lot of these places do have some form of healthcare for all.
Right. So this isn't an area that I have reported on extensively, but as you said, we've seen that a lot of those other countries are creating larger safety nets here. And while having a universal health coverage doesn't, you know, prevent the COVID-19 crisis, it does create a safety net for people and gets rid of the problem of these astronomically high costs that people could face once they get sick. So I think you're right that those solutions are showing a different way that, you know, people in those countries are dealing with this, and that they're still getting sick. There's still medical shortages, but when they go into the hospital, they're not typically facing $35,000.
Wow. So let's talk about the bill that was passed, Families First Coronavirus Response Act. So under this bill, COVID-19 testing is supposed to be free. But as you report, because our health system is such a mess, the law does not explicitly prohibit charging you if you go to an out-of-network provider. Can you tell us more about that?
Right. So the bill does say that insurers and for people who are uninsured, the government will make sure that the actual test itself is free. But yes, there are a lot of kind of loopholes and ways that you could still end up with a bill. And so part of the situation is that if you go to a provider that is in network, but they send the test to something, to a lab that's out of network, or if, you know, a doctor that ends up treating you for something that's not directly related to the coronavirus test is out of network, or the test is deemed not closely related enough, you will still end up with a surprise bill.
And how much could that be? I'm sure it varies, but what have you found?
Right. I mean, it does vary a lot. For example, the woman who I reported on with the $35,000 treatment cost, her charge for the just test itself was $907. And now that was before the testing bill was passed, but tests can often be hundreds of dollars. When you walk into an emergency room, those facilities fees that sometimes patients are charged can be, you know, over $1,000. It can be a significant amount of money.
Well, unfortunately, testing is still not to the levels where it needs to be. But if people do get tested, how can they ensure that they are in network? How can they ensure that the test will not, that they will not receive a surprise bill?
Right. I mean, part of this is difficult. That's the word surprise there, is that you often don't really know what the charges will be until after you've gotten the care. And certainly if you are in acute medical distress, you're not going to be in a position to ask, you know, is this something out of network? But I think the things that patient advocates and experts recommend are, you know, for everyone, you're supposed to be calling your doctor before you show up at the emergency room or at the urgent care center right now anyway, and they can help, you know, talk you through the medical advice on the phone before you have to go into the ER. And certainly, you know, always ask for the costs of things in writing and make sure that you are trying to kind of document the charges as much as possible so that once you get your bills, if you need to try to appeal them, you can do so.
Today, we're joined by Abby Abrams, staff writer for Time Magazine, where she covers healthcare policy and politics. And today, we're talking about COVID-19 testing and treatment. What happens if you are underinsured or if you're uninsured? And unfortunately, so many people are losing their insurance because they're losing their jobs. And as Abby reports, the Families First Coronavirus Response Act ensures that COVID-19 testing is free. But if you're out of network, you might receive a surprise bill. Now, the testing itself is not free. So we're going to talk about what we can do to demand that treatment is free for all people. What can we do to demand that? And Abby, I just want to share some tragic breaking news. I felt like we were here just a couple of days ago with Italy. And now, according to reports, Spain is surpassing China. Spain is reporting its deadliest day yet with 738 fatalities.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're just unfortunately seeing the numbers go up now in Spain as we did in Italy. Well, if you have any questions for Abby about healthcare costs, we really want to help you with this, and we really need to figure out how to demand that Congress take action so people get treatment free of charge. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. You can tweet us at Your Call Radio. There are many ways to get in touch. Abby, the other thing I'm concerned about is courts had a piece about a Kaiser Family Foundation survey, and it found that in 2018, more than half of adults with employer-sponsored health insurance said someone in their family skipped care because of the cost. So what if people who feel like they might have COVID-19, what if they're concerned about cost and they don't get tested and then they don't get treated?
Right. I think that's exactly the fear here. And so certainly these costs are a big problem for each individual and their family, but they are also a potential problem that will make the COVID-19 pandemic worse for all Americans. If you have people who are avoiding testing and treatment, that's a way that they could easily not know they have the virus and continue spreading it. And it will, you know, affect other vulnerable people and could keep spreading the virus.
Well, let's talk about the woman that you profiled in your Time magazine piece, a young uninsured woman named Dani Aschini, and she had to go to the ER for treatment. The other question that I had, and I haven't really seen this in many places, what happens to people who are in treatment? Given that we don't have yet a cure, a vaccine, what are you finding? How much time are people spending in the hospital? I'm sure it varies.
Right. It definitely varies. So the treatment is often really to treat the symptoms. And so in her case, she actually had the regular flu and the coronavirus. And so the treatment was really helping her deal with the pneumonia and giving her fluids. And, you know, a lot of the, unless people are being intubated, a lot of it is taking care of them the way you might for a really bad flu. So it can be hours in the emergency room, and some people will stay overnight, but that's also why lots of people will be able to recover at home unless you have the really severe cases.
So in the case of Dani Aschini, she spent 7 days in the ER?
So, no, she went, she had three different trips, so she wasn't even there for multiple days at a time. She went to the ER three different times over the course of those 7 days and still ended up with that high bill. So you can imagine someone who has a week-long stay will have a much higher bill.
Wow, and she said, I was pretty sticker shocked. I personally don't know anybody who has that kind of money. So almost $35,000. What is she planning to do about this?
Right. So she has applied for Medicaid because the reason she was uninsured is she was about to take a new job and move to a different state, to Washington, D.C. And so she was just in between insurance. So there is a possibility that Medicaid will retroactively cover her bills and she might be all right there. But if that doesn't happen, some hospitals do have charity care programs. You can apply for those typically after you have applied for Medicaid, and then you can work with lawyers to try to negotiate down the bills. And often, because so many of these costs are variable, providers do sometimes, you know, reverse or lower bills when patients appeal them or when they go to the news media.
Right. And if you live in a state that has expanded Medicaid coverage, hopefully you will be covered. But what about all of these 14 states have not expanded Medicaid coverage under the ACA? You know, and let's just hope that they get their act together and do this, given that we're in the middle of this pandemic. I mean, these are Republican states. And looking at the map, it looks like for the most part, obviously, California, Washington, New York are getting hit the hardest right now, but it is starting to spread to the rest of the country. So can you talk about the growing need for Medicaid and expanded Medicaid under this crisis?
Right. In states where they haven't expanded Medicaid, there are many people who, you know, fall into that coverage gap where they may easily not be able to afford the premiums on an individual insurance plan, or might not have employer insurance and yet don't qualify for Medicaid coverage. And we know that millions of Americans struggle to pay for insurance like that. So this is a scenario where more people being covered by Medicaid would really help them deal with those bills.
Abby, what are you hearing from advocates of expanded Medicare for All or some kind of universal health system? You just wrote a piece called Bernie Sanders May Be Losing, but COVID-19 is keeping Medicare for All alive and well.
Right. I think, unfortunately, this pandemic is exposing all of the problems that we've already known exist with our fragmented healthcare system in this country. And so people who have been pushing for an expansion of Medicare or some sort of, you know, government healthcare program are seeing this as a chance to really underscore why they feel we need universal healthcare and why they think that the government running that healthcare system would be the best option. You know, we're seeing lots of other progressive policies start to be passed in these bills that Congress is debating. And so I think the folks who have been advocating for Medicare for All or some sort of single-payer health system are going to keep pushing for that as this pandemic continues.
You report that Be a Hero and National Nurses United are planning a big digital and TV ad buy coming up next week to focus on general election swing states. And what they're going to do is focus on individual people's healthcare stories to underscore the need to overhaul the healthcare system, especially in light of this COVID-19 crisis.
Exactly. And often people really respond to seeing individuals stories about their healthcare struggles, you know, as we saw with the piece about treatment costs and Danny Aschini's story. I've seen, you know, thousands of tweets and emails from people who really related to her struggles. And so I think the Be a Hero PAC is using that same tactic to try to get people to care about the COVID-19 crisis and expanding healthcare.
What else are you hearing on Capitol Hill, Abby? Are politicians, I mean, more than just the Democrats who support some kind of healthcare for all system, are they taking this seriously enough, given that we are in a crisis and so many more people are going to lose their health insurance?
I think lots of the lawmakers are definitely taking this seriously. I don't know that I can judge what's in their minds, but I think we've seen, you know, even people, even Republican lawmakers and people who have not previously been in favor of supporting these kinds of measures have talked about the need for free testing and for supporting Americans dealing with these struggles. So it's pretty interesting that now that we are in this pandemic, people are more open to talking about expanding health care, expanding unemployment insurance, paid sick leave, priorities that have been, you know, on the back burner for a long time. And now people are seeing once we need everyone to get the care they need or to stay home when they're sick, those things are being taken a lot more seriously now.
Right. Well, Abby, thank you so much for your reporting and thank you for joining us. We're definitely going to follow this issue and we'd love to have you back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. That is Abby Abrams, staff writer for Time Magazine. Again, this is really important information. Under the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, this is now law, COVID-19 testing is supposed to be free. But as Abby reports, because the healthcare system in this country is such a mess, the law does not explicitly prohibit charging you if you go to an out-of-network provider. So it also does not address other surprise billing problems. So please get the word out about that. And then we are going to stay on this treatment. We cannot have people receiving $10,000 to $30,000 bills for treatment. It just cannot happen, especially with so many underinsured people. People are losing their jobs. So we're going to put calls in. I mean, we already have calls in to politicians for a variety of reasons, but we will add this to our list. We do have a call from Ellen in Berkeley. Ellen, we're going to switch gears and talk about how protections for homeless people, but I do want to answer your question on the air because I think a lot of people probably have it. Alan has a question about filing for taxes, and I just want to read this story from the New York Times. Taxpayers in the United States will have until July 15th to file and pay their taxes. So you have until July 15th to file and pay your taxes. If you just do a quick search, you will find more information about that. Coming up after a break, we will switch gears and talk about what state and local officials are doing to protect homeless people. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.